Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Picking up where we were last week, in verse 23, and I want to say that this is part 8 of my series, Fulfilled and Astonished. But in Matthew, chapter 8, verse 23, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Heavenly Father, I'm privileged once again to come before you in prayer. Lord, I want the man that these few verses speak about. I want Jesus in my heart and in my life. And I'm a Christian, I've been so almost 4 decades. But I want more of God. I want more of the Lord. I read the passage and I'm astonished or marvel. I want Jesus. I want his power. I want the greatness of the Lord, which is so far beyond human experience. I want him in my life. Help me to walk closer to God. Help me to spend more time in the Bible, where I read about the man that calmed the sea. And Lord, as we teach and preach today, help us to see Jesus. And please touch our heart. Put a hunger and a thirst for righteousness in us. And we thank you, Lord, and praise you. And give Jesus all the credit. And in his name, amen. This is a remarkable passage. This is a wonderful passage. I want to say first that the way that Matthew was written, chapter 8 and chapter 9, it appears to be one unbroken stream of events that expired in a day or maybe 2 days. In verse 18, after he had healed the sick, it says that Jesus, he saw great multitudes about him, and he gave commandment to depart to the other side. And on his way he met the scribe, and the scribe said, he declared that, "Master, I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest." And then he met the other man, and the other man also had a boast. "Oh, I'll follow you, but..." And in verse 23, our text today, he finally gets to the ship, the little boat. And after this, we'll get to some of it today and next week more. It seems like one unbroken narrative, at least in the book of Matthew. Maybe the other Gospels, They might tell it differently. Maybe they didn't happen all at once, but maybe the writers, as they were instructed by the Holy Spirit, put them together. I don't know. But in the text we're reading today, and in Matthew, that's the way it seems. Again, one unbroken chain of events, one leading to the next. But our text today, that it says that they finally got to the boat, and his disciples got in the boat with him, and they went to the other side. But it says there was a great tempest in the sea. I mean, this is South Louisiana. We all understand how the sea gets, the Gulf of Mexico gets, what have you. If there's a hurricane, we understand the effect. And the Sea of Galilee, as I understand it, it's like that. It's not all that large, but the way that it's situated in the mountains and what have you, a storm can come up out of nowhere and wreak havoc and then go on away and, oh, it's calm again. And we see in the Gospels more than once there's a storm that comes up in the day, in the night, what have you. But in this case, they made it to the boat, they got in the boat, they were going to the other side, and this, I don't know, in our terminology here in South Louisiana, we would say that maybe a little microburst hit. But at any rate, there was so much wind and water and waves that the deck or what have you was covered with the waves. But Jesus was asleep. I guess you can say a few things. I used to live in a house that was a guy next door, and he parked his car inside his garage. And in order to get to work at 6 o'clock in the morning, it was some kind of factory or something like that, warehouse, whatever, and his shift started at 6. And in order to get there on time, about 5:15, he would get in his car and he would punch the button. The garage door went up and he went on. And he backed out and he went down the road and the garage door closed again. And at 5:15 every morning, 5 days a week, that little bit noise woke me up. I'm a light sleeper. I understand that some people are not. They're very heavy sleepers. But I don't understand this. They were in the middle of a great tempest. The waves were washing over the boat. And Jesus was asleep. How could he go to sleep? If the waves are coming over the bow, surely he's getting wet. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. We're all going to drown. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? And he kind of got up or whatever. Then he stood up, it says, and he rebuked the wind and the sea. He said, hey, wind, hey, waves, stop. Whatever language he used. But then it says there was a great calm. And if I would have been there, I would have done the same thing in verse 27. But the men marveled, or they were astonished, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Again, you can say a number of things about this passage. But here, Jesus demonstrates his deity. We know that Jesus was a man. We know it. Because he was asleep. We understand that he's God come from heaven, but God doesn't sleep. But here we see Christ's humanity. He's asleep. And then when they wake him up, he stands up and he tells the wind, tells the storm, the microburst, whatever, hey, stop! And it stops. He's demonstrating his deity. He's demonstrating his authority. That he spoke and the storm ceased. And it says there was great calm. And you may have heard a sermon on this passage before. I've heard them. And the preacher usually gets around to saying that, hey, is Jesus in your boat? Whatever problems you got, is Jesus in your boat? Make sure he's in your boat. And he can calm your storms. That all he has to do in your circumstance, if the phone won't stop ringing because they want their money because you couldn't pay that bill, or the lawyers are beating on the door, or whatever the case, or the police are beating on your door, whatever the case, make sure Jesus is in your boat and he can calm your storms. He can speak peace to your situation. Again, I've heard that preached. Maybe you've heard it preached, and I want to say that I just preached it again. You need to have Jesus in your boat. There's nothing too hard for God, nothing impossible for God. Make sure he's in your boat. Give your life to him. Surrender your heart to him. You know those bad things you did, the things you hope nobody finds out about? Tell God. Admit you were wrong. Ask him, hey, forgive me. And he will. Get Jesus in your boat through repentance and faith. And he will astonish you what he can do in your situation. Just as these men marveled, you too can marvel at the majesty of our Lord God. You know, the modern church has a great lack of trust. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? He asked. Decades ago, we used to believe, we used to preach, openly preach, that God can do anything. Nowadays, we have a lot of preaching, usually about money. Usually about how great we are. But that message today is wrong. We need to get back to preaching how it used to be just a few decades ago. And the first way to do that is to get your Bible. Make sure it's a good translation. I am really fond of King James. If you can't handle the these and the thous, get you a modern English version. That's the name of it, MEV. And read it. And believe it. Read it and see what great things God has done. Trust in God. And you'll see what great things God can do in your life, in your boat, and in your storm. But again, the modern church has a great lack of trust in God, lack of trust in the gospel, lack of trust, a lack of trust. We ought to believe God personally and as a church body. We ought to believe God for great things. We ought to believe Him. But let's get back to our text. This series is entitled Fulfilled and Astonished. And we said we'd take a stroll through Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9 and see what God has for us And again and again and again we find fulfillment, that Jesus fulfilled prophecy by the things he did, by the things he said. And then we find astonishing things. So we've got the men marveling or being astonished and saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him? But also, if we think about this and we remember our Bible, we'll see that this episode is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, and a specific type of prophecy, a type, we've said this before, is generally defined as something in the Old Testament that foreshadows something in the New. In Jonah, I'll just read a few verses, but in Jonah chapter 1, and it says, Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, a prophet, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. And Nineveh is in Iraq, or was in Iraq. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. He was in one place, and Nineveh was to the east, and God said, go preach to them. And he said, oh yeah? And he went to the west, to Tarshish, as far as he could get from God. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Incidentally, Tarshish in Greek is Tarsus. That's where Saul, or Paul in the New Testament, Saul of Tarsus is from. But he was on his way to Tarsus, and he went down to Joppa, and he found the ship going to Tarsus, or Tarshish, and he fled from the presence of God. God said, go preach. The man was probably a prophet before, had the call of God upon his life. And if you read the book of Jonah, you'll find out, because he was a prophet, because he had the call of God on his life, his enemies, if he was in Israel or wherever he was, his enemies were Ninevites. And God said, go tell Nineveh what a bunch of horrible sinners they are, and that God, in just a few days, would overthrow or destroy that city. And Jonah, being a man of God, knew that if he preached against sin, repentance would follow. And though God sent him to foretell of judgment and destruction for their sin, they would repent. And then God wouldn't destroy his enemy, the Ninevites. So he ran. That's the backstory. But let's look at Jonah chapter 1 again. God says, hey prophet, go preach. And he says, hey God, no I won't. And he ran the other way. He got into a boat, going to Tarsus. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, in verse 4. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Or, as we read in Matthew. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but Jesus was asleep in the bottom of the boat. You see the parallel? Do you understand how Jonah, his experience foreshadowed what we see here in Matthew chapter 8? Again, Jonah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so much that the ship was likely to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and it says that they cried every man to his God. Again, these weren't Christians, they weren't Jews, they were Phoenicians, or they were whatever. They all had their different gods, and every man cried or prayed or called out, O God, Baal or whoever, rescue us. Molech, whatever god it was, rescue us. And it says that not only were they calling out to their gods, but all the cargo, they threw it overboard to lighten the ship. And you know, if you think about it, this happened again in Paul's day. They threw all the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But it says that Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he laid down, and he was fast asleep. Just like Jesus, asleep in the bottom of the boat. Again, Jesus in the boat, in the middle of a storm, asleep, is a fulfillment of this prophecy, this type, this foreshadowing in the book of Jonah. And just like the disciples, they woke him up and said, Hey, we're about to die. Save us, Lord, we perish. Jonah too. In his boat, they woke him up and they said, Hey, you know, we're all praying to our God. Why don't you pray to yours that we be saved? And Jonah said, Hey, no big deal. I don't have to pray. I know exactly what the problem is. It's my God. I'm running from him. And in fact, if you throw me overboard, all this wind and waves will cease. And they did, and it did. Again, I don't want to tell the whole story of Jonah. But the story of Jonah, before he got to the whale or big fish or whatever, foreshadows what we see in the Gospels. And I said it before, and I'll say it again. Everywhere you look in the Old Testament, you will find references to Jesus Christ in a number of different ways. This what we're looking at today is a type, some of it in the Old Testament that foreshadows something in the New. There are plain symbols. There are events, there are prophecies, there are prayers, there's any number of things that you will find in the Old Testament that points to Jesus Christ. And the message of the Old Testament is, hey, look at Jesus Christ. Again, the title of my series here, Fulfilled and Astonished. As you read the Word of God, as you open your Bible and read, and if you attend a good church and the pastor preaches, then your whole experience should be, hey, Jesus. Hey, I see Jesus in the sermon, in your own personal reading, what have you. That's the whole point of the Bible. Jesus, who he is, and what he did for us, and the fact that one day soon he's coming again. And every promise that the Bible makes, we misquote it, but the lion laying down with the lamb, peace everywhere, fulfillment, etc. All of these things are going to come to pass. You say, when? Well, I can't tell you when the Lord's coming back. And Jesus himself said that no man knows the day or the hour. No, not even Jesus himself. But he is coming back. You look at world events, you look at prophecy, and you say, well, it's probably getting close. And maybe it is. Or maybe Jesus doesn't come back for another 1,000 years. But the fact is, he is coming. That's a fact. And he says, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. And if you live your natural life, you can live it with the assurance that every word in this book is true. You can trust in God. You can depend upon God. And to refer back to our initial text, you don't have to be fearful. You can be of great faith if you know that Jesus is in your boat. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.